This week's parsha is Parshas Tetzaveh, and we'll start in the beginning of the parsha, which is chapter 27, verse number 20. The pasuk starts, "Ve'ato Tetzaveh es bnei Yisrael, and you should command the children of Israel, ve'ikcho elecho, and they should take for you shemen zayis zach, clear olive oil, kosis lamoir, crushed for illumination, lahalois." Ner Tomid, to light a lamp continuously. The first question that we are going to ask is, why does the Pasuk start with Ve'ato Tetzaveh, and you should command? Why doesn't the Torah use the usual formula that the Torah used in the last Parsha, when the Torah commanded us to make the vessels of the Mishkan? There it's written, Ve'osiso, you should make, or Ve'oso, the Jewish people should make. Here should have also be written, Velokachto, you should take Shemen Zayizah, pure olive oil. Why does the Torah here tell you specifically that Ve'ato Tetzaveh, and you should command? Furthermore, we see that in truth the Torah does use the language Tzav es Bnei Yisrael, command the Jewish people, in regard to the Shemen Zayis. Because in chapter 24 of Vayikra, verse number 1 and 2, we start, Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe Leimor. Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu saying, Tzav es Bnei Yisrael, command the Jewish people, Ve'ikhu Elecho, and they should take to you, Shemen Zayis Zach, clear olive oil, Kosis Lamor, crushed for illumination, Lehalo is Ner Tomit, to bring a constant light. We see clearly that there we have exactly the same Pasuk as here, but there instead of written Ve'ato Tetzaveh, and you should command, there it's written the regular formula that the Torah normally uses, where it starts, Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe Leimor, Hashem speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu saying, Tzav es Bnei Yisrael, command the Jewish people. Then why here it's written, Ve'ato Tetzaveh, and you should command? And there, regarding the same pasuk, it's written, Tzav es Bnei Yisrael, command the Jewish people. In truth, Rashi asks this question there on Parshas Emor, and Rashi there says, Zu Parshas Mitzvah Zaneiros, that in Parshas Emor is the place where Hashem commanded us to light the candles of the menorah. Rashi continues and says, how can I say that? We see previously we have the commandment to light the candles of menorah because it's written here, Ve'ato Tetzaveh, you should command to light the candles of the menorah. Rashi answers that Ve'ato Tetzaveh is not a commandment for right now. Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu that eventually you will command the Jewish people to light the candles of menorah. And when are you going to command the Jewish people? In Parshas Emor. But Ve'ato Tetzaveh is not a commandment right now to light the candles of menorah. That commandment will only come in Parshas Tzav. Then why is Hashem mentioning about lighting the candles of menorah if he is not commanded yet to tell the Jewish people about the menorah? Rashi explains that since in Parshas Truma we mentioned about the menorah, then it's only proper that Hashem should mention what is the menorah for. Meaning, since we already mentioned about the menorah, we telling you that eventually this menorah is going to be used to light the candles, but this is not a commandment yet to light the candles. That commandment will only come in Parshas Tetzaveh. Right now Hashem only told Moshe Rabbeinu to command the Jewish people to build the menorah, but Hashem already mentions that the reason for the menorah is going to be what I am going to command you on Parshas Emor, that you should light the candles. But it doesn't mean necessarily that you are to command them right now. The Ramban asks a very important question on Rashi. If that is true, that the only reason it's written here, Ve'ato Tetzaveh, it doesn't mean to command now, but it means to command in the future, then why doesn't the Torah put right away after the Torah finished telling the story of the menorah on chapter 25, why doesn't the Torah right there write the story of Ve'ato Tetzaveh, that you're eventually going to command to light the candles? Since we just finished talking about the menorah, it would only be proper that we should continue to explain why the menorah is going to be needed. Why does the Torah wait till the Torah finishes telling us the idea of the curtains and the beams that supported the walls of the Mishkan, and then go back to the story of the menorah? The most proper place to write Ve'ato Tetzaveh, the commandment about the candles of the menorah, would be right after I write you about the menorah. Sefer Lekach Tov, Tramoish Nagiara, explains that this question of the Ramban is not such a strong question, because we find a lot of times that since the Torah is discussing something, the Torah finishes discussing that whole topic, and then it's going to go to a subtopic of the first topic, meaning that true that the Torah here mentions the menorah, but the Torah is not mentioning only the menorah. The Torah is mentioning the menorah in the context of what is going to be needed in the Mishkan. Then the Torah decides to finish first what is going to be needed in the Mishkan, and then it reverts back to tell you what one of the vessels is going to be. Meaning the Torah discusses the Aron, the Shulchan, the menorah, and all the beams and all the curtains, and that is the Mishkan. Then the Torah decides to revert back to the menorah and explains that the menorah is going to be needed because Moshe Rabbeinu will eventually tell the Jewish people to light the candles. That is the purpose of the menorah. But the Torah did not want to interrupt in the middle of the process of explaining the Mishkan to explain some details about the menorah. Then the Rabban asks, how can Rashi say that the commandment to light the candles of the menorah only came in Parshas Emor, when we have here on chapter 40, verse number 25, a pasuk that says, "Vayala neros ifnei Hashem," that he lit the candles in front of Hashem, "Kasher tzivo Hashem es Moshe," as Hashem has commanded Moshe Rabbeinu. So we see that he lit the candles in front of Hashem, as Hashem has commanded Moshe Rabbeinu. And if you say that the commandment to put the candles only came in Parshas Emor, how can we say here in the Shiva Yemei Miluim, where the inauguration of the tabernacle, that he lit the candles as Hashem commanded Moshe, if the commandment wasn't given yet? Again, according to Rashi, this commandment of lighting the candles of the menorah wasn't given yet. When the pasuk says V'ato Tetzave, means that you will eventually going to give this commandment, which is going to happen in Parshas Emor. If that is true, how can the Torah say in Parshas Pekudei that Moshe Rabbeinu lit the candles, Kasher Tzivu Hashem es Moshe, like Hashem commanded Moshe Rabbeinu, when the commandment to light the candles wasn't given yet? This question is deflected by Sefer Nachlas Yaakov, where he says that it makes a big difference what happened in Shiva Yemei HaMeluim during the 7 days of the inauguration of the tabernacle, what is going to happen later on. Meaning, during the inauguration of the tabernacle, during the first 7 days, Moshe Rabbeinu by himself did the avodah, he did the service. He is the one who brought all the sacrifices, and he is the one who lit the candles. Then he could say that Moshe Rabbeinu himself got the commandment to light the candles of the menorah during the 7 days of the inauguration. But the Jewish people didn't get the commandment to light the candles of the menorah until Parshas Emor. Therefore, when the pasuk says "Ve'ato tetzave," you will eventually command the Jewish people, it's not referring to what Moshe Rabbeinu himself is going to light. It's referring that in the future, when Moshe Rabbeinu is going to tell the Jewish people to light the candles of the menorah, he himself received this commandment by himself, and he knew to light the candles of the menorah during the Shiva Yemei HaMeluim. That's why he says, "Kasher Tzivu Hashem es Moshe," like Hashem commanded Moshe Rabbeinu, only Moshe Rabbeinu. But Parshas Tetzave is saying that eventually Moshe Rabbeinu is going to command the Jewish people to light the candles of the menorah. I was thinking that we don't have to come to all these answers to help Rashi, because Rashi, according to his own Shita, the questions are never questions. The questions are only questions according to the Ramban, meaning the Ramban believes that the whole Torah is chronological unless I have no choice and I have no other ways to explain events, or unless there is clearly an exact date, meaning that we have a date written and then we have a pasuk later on that gives another date, but that date is previous to the first date, then we have no choice and we have to say that the Torah is not chronological. An example of that is what happens in Bamidbar chapter 1, verse number 1, where the pasuk says that Hashem spoke to Moshe in the first of the second month, in the second year. And then on Parshas Baloischo, which is two Parshas later, on chapter 9, verse number 1, there it says that Hashem spoke to Moshe in Midbar Sinai in the second year, in the first month. Meaning in the beginning of Bamidbar says it was the first day of the second month of the second year. And in the middle of Baloischo, there it says it was the second year in the first month. It means it was a month earlier than Parshas Bamidbar. There, we have no choice and we have to say a mukdam, a mocher b'Torah, that there is no chronology in the Torah. But when there is other choices, then the Ramban always tries to bend over backwards to put the Torah in chronological order. Therefore, the Ramban has both questions on Rashi because it does not follow the chronological order. But Rashi in turn does not subscribe to the idea that the Torah has to be in chronological order. And one of the proofs is that this week's Parsha and Parsha's Terumah, according to Rashi, was done after Parsha's Kisisa, meaning that we only received the tabernacle after we did the sin of the golden calf, and the tabernacle is an atonement for the sin of the golden calf. Then according to Rashi, these Parshas are anyways out of chronology. Then all the questions that the Ramban asked are not a question. The first question of the Ramban, why did the Torah wait to write Batot Tetzaveh, which is referring about the menorah, only after he wrote the idea of the beams and the curtains? The answer is, could be the Torah gave Parshas Atot Tetzaveh right there. But since there is no chronology, the Torah chose to wait to finish the description of all the vessels of the tabernacle and then wrote the idea that you're eventually going to command the Jewish people to put candles in the menorah. But it could be it was actually given right after the story of the menorah. And the second question of the Ramban, that it's written Parshas Pekuda, that Moshe Rabbeinu lit the candles Kashet Siva Hashem Es Moshe, like Hashem commanded Moshe Rabbeinu, and the commandment wasn't given yet. Who says it wasn't given yet? True that it's written on Parshas Emor, but could be that here on Parshas Tetzaveh the commandments weren't given yet, because this Parshas Tetzaveh, according to Rashi, happened right after Yom Kippur, after Moshe Rabbeinu came down from the mountain. But we know that the Mishkan became complete on the 25th of Kislev, but it wasn't erected until the week before Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So could be that right after the Mishkan became complete, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to give him Parshas Emor, give him the laws about the candles of the menorah. And when Moshe Rabbeinu erected the Mishkan the last week of Adar, right before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, then Moshe Rabbeinu already commanded the Jewish people to do that. Then could be that right here is Va'atot Tetzaveh, but when it happens in Parshas Pekudei, happened after what happened in Parshas Emor, and there is no chronology in Torah, because Rashi is never bothered by the chronology. Therefore, we could simply say that Rashi believes that the commandment on Parshas Emor was given before the fact that it was lit the candles that's written in Parshas Pekudei, and we have no questions on Rashi. Sefer Shem Roish asks a very strong question on Rashi, that in the previous Parshas, Parshas Terumah, we have really four vessels that the Torah mentioned. The Torah mentioned the Aron, the Ark, and the Aron, the Torah tells clearly that you should put the Luchos inside. Then we have a purpose for the Aron. The Torah mentions the Shulchan, the table, and there the Shulchan is mentioned on chapter 25, verse number 30, V'nosato al Shulchan lechem ponim lefonai tomit, that you should always put showbread in front of me. Then the purpose of the Shulchan is clearly listed. Then we have the menorah, which the purpose of the menorah is not listed. And Rashi says that this is what the Torah means to say, Va'atot Tetzaveh, that you eventually are going to command the Jewish people that they should light the candles of the menorah. But then we have one more vessel, which is a Mizbeach HaNechoshes, the copper altar, which was outside, which starts in chapter 27. And the Torah doesn't tell you what the purpose of the Mizbeach is going to be. According to Rashi's logic, the Torah should have also mentioned what's the use of the Mizbeach going to be. Because Rashi says that the only reason the Torah says V'atot Tetzaveh, that you eventually are going to command the Jewish people to light the candles, is because we mentioned the menorah. If that is true, once we mention the Mizbeach, we should also mention what is the use going to be for the Mizbeach. And we should say V'atot Tetzaveh, and you're going to command the Jewish people to bring sacrifices on Mizbeach. Why does the Torah only say what the purpose is going to be by the menorah and doesn't say what the purpose is going to be by the Mizbeach? The first Or HaChaim HaKodesh in this week's Parsha asks first, why is it required to say Ve'ato and you, Tetzaveh, should command? Since Hashem was speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, why is it required to say Ve'ato and you? And second, why is it saying Tetzaveh, you should command as Bnei Yisrael? Why doesn't it just say Tzav as Bnei Yisrael, command the Jewish people? and they should bring oil. What so different about the oil that Moshe Rabbeinu has to command himself? The Racham HaKodesh answers that even though many rabbis gave answers for the language Vat Tetzaveh, nonetheless he will give his. And his answer is that Vat Tetzaveh means that you, Moshe Rabbeinu, should command the Jewish people. Don't say that this commandment came from me, but you on your own should decide to command the Jewish people. And the reason that Ora Chaim says is that since they are building a Mishkan for Hashem, they are building almost as a palace for Hashem, a place for him to reside, it is not proper that he should ask for them to put lights in his palace. Something is taken for granted that when you build to a king a palace, that you will put on your own light in that palace. Therefore, Hashem doesn't want to give the commandment Tzav as Bnei Yisrael command the Jewish people, because that would be tantamount of him demanding that you put light in his palace, and that is improper. But by saying Ve'ato Tzav as Bnei Yisrael, that you should command the Jewish people that they should do it on their own, meaning that you should make them realize that it's important to have candles in the house of Hashem, therefore they'll eventually do it on their own. Therefore, the Torah doesn't want to give the direct command, Tzav as Bnei Yisrael, command the Jewish people that they should put oil, because it's improper and not honorable for a king himself to ask for people to put candles in his palace. The question that Sefer Shemen Roish asked on this Ora Chaim also is from what's written in Parshas Emor. There it says, V'adabar Hashem el Moshe leimor, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, saying, Tzav es Bnei Yisrael, command the Jewish people that they should take oil and light the candles. So we see there that Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to command the Jewish people to put candles. Then the whole theory of the Rachaim falls away, because the whole theory of Rachaim is that it's improper for a king to ask to put candles in his palace. And there Hashem himself tells Moshe Rabbeinu to command the Jewish people to put candles in his palace. Therefore, Sefer Shemen Roish gives a completely different answer, and he answers based on the Gemara in Nedarim Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph 38a. There the Gemara says, Omer Rabbi Yosi Bar Pchanina, Rabbi Yosi Bar Pchanina says, Lo nitna Torah elo lemoishe lezaroi. The Torah was originally given only to Moshe Rabbeinu and to his descendants, meaning only his children that come afterwards. Shenemar, because it's written, Ksav lecha, write yourself these words, that's in chapter 34 of Shmos, verse number 27, and then it's written, Psal lecha, carve yourself the tablets, and previously Rab Chamra Bar Chanina says, Ma psulton shalcha, in the same way that the fragments, the leftover, the psoilus, belongs to Moshe Rabbeinu, because previously the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu became wealthy from the fragments that he hewed out of the tablets, and they were made of sapphire. So too, of Ksavon Shalcha, also the writing of the tablets belongs only to Moshe Rabbeinu, meaning that the words of the Torah were only given to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara continues and says that Moshe Noag Batov Asayin, Moshe Rabbeinu acted generously with the Torah, Venesano Israel, and he gave to the Jewish people, meaning it was only due to Moshe Rabbeinu's generosity that we receive the Torah. The Gemara continues and says, all of Akosav Oimer, that on Moshe Rabbeinu, the Pasuk in Mishlei, Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 9, is referring to when the Pasuk says, Toiv Ayin Hu Yevoirach, that a generous person should be blessed, Ki Nosan Melach Veladol, because he has given from his bread to the poor. And the Rosh explains that when the Pasuk is referring that he gave bread to the poor, the word bread there refers to Torah, because we see the Pasuk in Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 5, there it says, Lechu lechmi belachmi, come and partake with my bread, and that is referring to Torah. And then the Rosh says that Dal, a poor person, impoverished person, is referring to Israel, because the Pasuk in Judges chapter 6, verse number 6 says, Va'idal Israel ad me'oid, that Israel became very impoverished, Therefore, if we put both ideas together, then it comes out that the pasuk that says, Toiv ayin hu yevorach, that a generous person should be blessed, ki nosan melachmoy, that he gave from his bread, means from the Torah, ladal, to the Jewish people, then we see clearly that Moshe Rabbeinu acted generously with the Torah, and he is the one that gave the Torah to the Jewish people. But originally, the Torah was given exclusively to Moshe Rabbeinu and his children. The Gemara asks a lot of questions on this statement, and the final question of the Gemara is from Devarim chapter 31, verse 19, where the pasuk there says, "Va'ato and now kisvu lochem asher azois, write this song, velamdas bnei Yisrael sim b'fiyem, and should teach the Jewish people, put it in their mouths, lamantiali asher azois le'ed bivnei Yisrael, that this song should be a witness to the Jewish people," meaning if bad things happen, then Hashem will show the Shira that He gave them the Torah and they left the Torah, which means that Hashem gave the Torah to the Jewish people. Then how can you say that Moshe Rabbeinu is the only one who got the Torah? Clearly, it says there that this Torah is a witness to the Jewish people that they will be punished for not keeping this Torah. It wasn't given by Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara answers, Elo pilpula ba'alma, meaning that we have to reinterpret the statement of Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina that he did not mean to say that the written law was given to Moshe Rabbeinu and Moshe Rabbeinu is the one that gave that to the Jewish people. Rather, the written law was given directly to the Jewish people, but the oral law, the methodology in which a person derives keen insights from the Torah text, that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu alone, and Moshe Rabbeinu decided to share that with the Jewish people. Meaning, there are certain laws that we derive from Gezeirah Shaveh, from the way that both letters are the same, from Gematrias, from numerical values, from the shape of the letters, that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu himself. And that he decided to share with the Jewish people. Deyun Yaakov explains this Gemara based on the Gemara in Eruvin Daf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph. There the Gemara says, V'omar Rabbelazar says, Ma'i Dichsiv, what is the meaning of the pasuk that says, in Shemos chapter 32, verse number 16, Chorus ala luchois, that the writing of Hashem was engraved into the tablets. He says, Ilemole lo ishtabu luchos reshoinois, if the first set of tablets had not been broken, meaning if Moshe Rabbeinu would have not broken the tablets after he saw the golden calf, lo nishtakcha toira miYisrael, the Torah would have not been forgotten from the Jewish people. Meaning that since the first luchas were engraved by the hand of Hashem, then those luchas encompassed everything, the written law and the oral law, and the Jewish people would have not forgotten anything because the luchas were given directly by Hashem, and once we received the laws, we would have never forgotten it, then there wasn't going to be a special need for people for a way to reacquire their laws through the methodological way of the Shloish Esre Midos, of the 13 precepts of the Torah, or other methodological ways that the Talmud uses to derive laws, because all the laws wouldn't have been forgotten. But now, because of the Jewish people doing the golden calf, Moshe Rabbeinu broke the tablets, and Hashem thanked Moshe Rabbeinu for breaking the tablets, as the Talmud brings down in Shabbos, Daf Pei Zayin, Amud Aleph, 87a, that Rish Lakish says that what is written in Shmos, chapter 34, verse number 1, Asher Shibarto, that you have broken, it is as it would have been written, Yesher Koyach Shibarto, thank you for breaking the tablets, meaning that Hashem agreed with Moshe Rabbeinu that the Jewish people should not get the original tablets, but because of Moshe Rabbeinu breaking the tablets, forgetfulness came to the world. Now, because we forget the laws, we are required to have this methodology in order to reacquire those laws. As the Gemara writes down in Ksubas Daf Kov Gimel Amud Beis 103b, that Rab Chanina told Rab Chia, the Im Chas V'Sholom Nishtak Chotorah Mi'Israel, that if, God forbid, the Torah will be forgotten from the Jewish people, Mehadar Nolei Mi'Pulpula, I could bring it back through the methodology. So we see that the methodology helps us to regain the oral law. And in fact, the Gemara in Temura, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph 17a, says that when Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, 3,000 alochos nishtakhu b'me evlo shel Moshe, it was forgotten during the mourning period of Moshe Rabbeinu. Osniel ben Knaz echzira mipilpuloi, and Osniel ben Knaz was able to bring him back based on the methodology. So we see clearly that if we ever forget the Torah through the pilpul, through the methodology, we could regain the oral law. Hashem, as a reward, gave this methodology to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu, because he is a gracious person, decided to share this methodology with the Jewish people. And this is what Rabbi Yossi Bar Hanina is referring when he says that Hashem gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu decided to share with the Jewish people, which means that Moshe Rabbeinu decided to share the way to reacquire the oral law with the Jewish people, because this methodology was only given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Just as an aside, in previous years, we gave the answer that it's written here, Ve'ato tetzave, and you should command the Jewish people, Ve'ikho elecho, they should take to you, Shem and Zai Zoch, pure olive oil. And we asked the same question, why is it written, Ve'ato tetzave, why specifically by the olive oil it's written that Moshe Rabbeinu should be the one to command the Jewish people? And we answered from Sefer Iture Torah, that since Moshe Rabbeinu is the one that caused the Torah to be forgotten from the Jews because he broke the tablets, as we mentioned, and since the Gemara in Horias Daf Yud Gimel writes down, Keshem Shazayis Meshakach Limoit Shel Shivim Shana, in the same way that olives, whole olives, make you forget the Torah that you learned in 70 years, Kach, the same effect to the opposite, Shemen Zayis, olive oil, Meishiv Limut Shel Shivim Shana, brings back learning of 70 years, meaning that if you take olive oil, then you won't forget the Torah. Quite opposite, you'll remember even things that you learned 70 years before. Therefore, since Moshe Rabbeinu is the one that was responsible that the Torah should be forgotten from the Jewish people because he broke the tablets, it's only fitting and proper that he is the one that should be responsible in making sure that the Jewish people remember the Torah that they had forgotten. Therefore, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Ve'ato tetzave, you should be the one to command the Jewish people, because it's technically your fault that they don't remember, but by you commanding the Jewish people that they should take olive oil, then you'll be able to rectify what you did wrong. Therefore, this parsha starts with Ve'ato tetzave, that Moshe Rabbeinu is the one that is required to command the Jewish people to take olive oil, because he's the one that caused them to forget. But going back to our topic, Sefer Shemeroish says, we see from the Gemara that Torah Shebal Peh, the oral law, the law that you get through methodology, was given to Moshe Rabbeinu by himself, and that he gave to the Jewish people. Sefer Shemeroish now brings a Medrash Tanchuma, which is in Parshas Kisiso, Simen Lamed Vav, where the Medrash analyzes the Pasuk in Shemos, chapter 34, verse 28, where it says there, Vayishomim Hashem, that Moshe Rabbeinu was with Hashem, Arboim Yoim Varboim Laila, 40 days and 40 nights. The Medrash asks, Menayin Ayo Moshe Yodeya Emos Ayoim? How did Moshe Rabbeinu know when it was day? Meaning, right here on earth, we have the sun to tell us when it is day, and when the sun sets, it is night. But Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Hashem. Hashem is above the heavens. There, how does Moshe Rabbeinu know when it is day and when it is night? Medrash answers, Elokei HaKadosh Baruch Hu ayu melamdo et Torah shebichtav, when Hashem was teaching him the written law, Hayu yodea shehu yoim, Moshe Rabbeinu knew that this is day. Meaning that in the daylight, Hashem taught him the written law. But when Hashem was teaching Moshe Rabbeinu by heart the Mishnah and the Talmud, then Moshe Rabbeinu knew that it is night. Again, Moshe Rabbeinu knew if it was day or if it was night by analyzing what Hashem taught him. When Hashem taught him the written law, Moshe Rabbeinu knew that it was day. But when Hashem taught him the oral law, then Moshe Rabbeinu knew it was night. Sefer Shemeroish now brings a Rashi, which is on chapter 29 of this week's Parsha, verse number 42, where there the Pasuk is discussing the Mizbeach and the sacrifice of the Mizbeach. The Pasuk says, Oilas Tomid Nedoroiseichem Pesach Ol Moed. This is an elevation offering for all generations at the door of the tent of meeting, Lifnei Hashem, in front of Hashem. Asher Ivoed Lochem Shama, where I'll arrange audience for you, Ledaber Eilech Hashem, to speak to you there. Rashi explains that this pasuk means to say that Hashem is going to make an appointment with Moshe Rabbeinu and he'll speak to Moshe Rabbeinu from on top of the Mizbeach. Rashi seems to be bothered by a question. Therefore, Rashi continues and says that from the fact that the pasuk here says that Hashem is going to meet Moshe Rabbeinu from on top of the Mizbeach, Yeshmu Rabbi Seinu Lemeidi Mikan, there are some of our rabbis that learn from here, Sheme'ala Mizbeach HaNechoishes, from on top of the copper Mizbeach, meaning the regal Mizbeach that was outside, Oya Kudush Baruch Hu Medabri Moshe Mishukam HaMishkan. Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu after the Mishkan was inaugurated, meaning that whenever Hashem wanted to speak to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem called him to the Mizbeach, and Hashem spoke to him from on top of the Mizbeach. But the Yesh Omrim, there are some rabbis that say that it wasn't on top of the Mishkan, that it was on top of the Kapoiris. Because on chapter 25, verse 22, there the Torah tells something completely different. There the Torah says, V'noyadati lecha shama, I'll have an audience there with you, V'dibarti itcha me'al kapoiris, I will speak to you from on top of the lid. The lid was the covering for the aroin. Mibein shnei akruvim, from between the two cherubs, asher al aroin oedus, that are on the aroin of testimony, es kol asher tzaveoischa, everything they'll command you, el bnei Yisrael, to the Jewish people. So there we see clearly that Hashem will speak to Moshe Rabbeinu from between the cherubs, which is on top of the Ark of Covenant. Rashi continues and says that according to the opinion that says that Hashem is meeting Moshe Rabbeinu by the Holy of Holies in front of the cherubs, that seems to contradict this pasuk here, because the pasuk here seems to say that Oilas Tomid Adoriseichem, that this is a continual Ola offering, Pesach Oel Moed Lifnei Hashem, that is in the door of the tent of meeting in front of Hashem, Asher Yivoed Lachem Shama, that I'll meet you there, Ledaber Lecho Sham, that I'll speak to you there. And since we are talking about the Mizbeach and about the elevation offering, there seems to be in the place where you put the elevation offering, which is on top of the Mizbeach. Therefore, Rashi says that those who hold that Hashem was meeting Moshe Rabbeinu from on top of the cherubs have a total different reading on this pasuk. Meaning, the pasuk says that Oilas Tomit Ledoroiseichem, that this eternal offering to all generations, and this offering is done Pesach Oel Moed Lifnei Hashem at the door of the tent of meeting in front of Hashem, where the tent of meeting in front of Hashem is the place Asher Yivoed Lechoshomo, that Hashem will meet you there, Ledaber Lechoshom, to speak to you there. Meaning that it is not meant to say that the Mizbeach is the place where Hashem is going to meet. The Mizbeach is in front of the tent of meeting, which is in front of Hashem. And that place, the tent of meeting in front of Hashem, which means the Holy of Holies, that is the place where Hashem is going to speak to you there. Sefer Shemen Roish asks that Rashi brings two different interpretations where Hashem met Moshe Rabbeinu. The first interpretation said that Hashem met Moshe Rabbeinu from on top of Mizbeach, and they hold that this verse on chapter 29, verse 42, is the real verse where it clearly says that the place where the elevation offering, that is where Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu. And the second interpretation says that Hashem met Moshe Rabbeinu from on top of the cherubs. And Rashi explains how the opinion that holds that Hashem met Moshe Rabbeinu from on top of the cherubs will explain this pasuk that seems to say that Hashem met Moshe Rabbeinu from on top of Mizbeach. But now we have to explain the other way around, because those who hold that Hashem met Moshe Rabbeinu from on top of Mizbeach, how are they going to learn the pasuk previously that says that Hashem met Moshe Rabbeinu from on top of the cherubs? Because that pasuk on chapter 25, verse 22, seems to be crystal clear that Hashem is going to meet Moshe Rabbeinu from on top of the cherubs, and we can't give a different interpretation to that pasuk. And the rabbis knew about this pasuk, then how did they interpret that pasuk? Sefer Shemen Rosh continues and says that we know that every vessel that was in the Mishkan represented something. The shulchan, the table, represented the livelihood of a person, the bread that he puts on his table, and the menorah represented the wisdom of the Torah. So much that the Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Chaf Hei, Amad Beis, 25b, says, Haroitze Sheyachkim, somebody who wants to become wise, Yadrim, should turn a little bit to the south when he prays. With Sheyashir, if he wants to become wealthy, Yatspin, he should turn a little bit to the north. The Simonach, and the Simon for this is, meaning, for you to remember, you should know that Shulchan Betzofen, that the table in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash were in the north side, Umenoirah, and the Menorah Bedorim was in the south side. Therefore, if you want to get wealthy, you turn to the north. If you want to get wise, you turn to the south. And he says that the Menorah represented the wisdom of the Torah. He asks why you need the Menorah to represent the wisdom of the Torah when you have the Luchos, the Ark of Covenant, where the Torah was actually written there, which that is what should represent the wisdom of the Torah. And he answers that there is two wisdoms to be represented. The Luchos represented Torah Shebichsav, the written law, because the Luchos, the tablets, were written, were engraved, they were there. But the Menorah represented the Torah Shebaalpeh, the oral law, and that's why they bring down that the Menorah had all these cups and all these buttons and all these flowers, which represents the flowery learning that comes out from the Torah, which is the oral law. Sefer Shemen Rosh continues and says that you see that this is true because the menorah was made to be lit me'erev ad boiker, from night to morning, meaning the menorah was lit during the night. And as we mentioned from the Medrash Tanchuma, that Hashem taught Moshe Rabbeinu the written law by day and the oral law at night. And since the menorah has to be lit from night till morning, meaning that it has to be lit all night, that clearly shows that the menorah represents the oral law. And since Hashem gave the oral law as a gift to Moshe Rabbeinu, as the Gemara mentioned, Moshe Rabbeinu was wondering, why did Hashem command us to make a menorah? Because the menorah doesn't belong to the Jewish people, belongs to Moshe Rabbeinu. Therefore, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Ve'ato tetzave, the reason that I'm giving you to make the menorah is because I know that you have a gracious heart, and I know that you are going to share the oral law with the Jewish people. Therefore, ve'ato tetzave, you are the one that is going to command the Jewish people that they should bring the oil to the menorah, because you are the one that is going to give the oral law to the Jewish people, and the menorah, which signifies the oral law, is going to come on your honor. Therefore, afterwards, when Moshe Rabbeinu actually shares the oral law of the Jewish people on Parshas Emor, Hashem there could say, Vaydabra Hashem el Moshe Leimor, Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Tzavez b'nei Yisrael, command the Jewish people that you should bring oil to the menorah. Before Moshe Rabbeinu shared with the Jewish people, Hashem cannot say, Tzavez b'nei Yisrael, command the Jewish people, because this really belongs to Moshe Rabbeinu. But since Hashem knows that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to share the oral law with the Jewish people, therefore later on Hashem could say, Tzavez b'nei Yisrael, command the Jewish people and bring the oil, because after he shared it, the oral law applied to the Jewish people. Therefore, Hashem could tell the Jewish people to bring oil to the menorah. And according to this, it's also answered our question, why isn't it written regarding the Mizbeach, the Ato Tetzaveh, you will command the Jewish people to bring sacrifices? And the answer is, because Moshe Rabbeinu never had a problem with the Mizbeach. But Moshe Rabbeinu had a problem regarding the menorah, because since the menorah represented the oral law, and the oral law was given to him as a gift, then why are the Jewish people doing the menorah? Therefore, only regarding the menorah, Hashem has to answer, V'ato tetzave, and you will eventually command the Jewish people that they should bring the oil. because that was the only doubt to Moshe Rabbeinu. Why is Hashem giving the menorah to the Jewish people when they don't have the oral law yet? The oral law was given to Moshe Rabbeinu as a gift. And Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu that I know in the future you are going to command the Jewish people because you have a gracious heart. Therefore, I'm giving him now to make the menorah because I foresee the future. Sefer Shem Meroesh continues and says that according to what he just mentioned, Hashem cannot say regarding the menorah here, Tzavez B'nai Israel, command the Jewish people, because since the oral law belonged to Moshe Rabbeinu, then Hashem cannot say in the language, command the Jewish people, because now it still belongs to Moshe Rabbeinu. We could say that Hashem appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu in two places. When Hashem was discussing the written law, then Hashem appeared on top of the Luchas, because the Luchas represented the written law. And regarding when Hashem appears on top of the Luchas, on chapter 25, verse 22, the pasuk there says, and I'll appear to you there, and I'll speak to you from on top of the lid, mibein shnei akruvim, from between the two cherubs, asher al aron oidus, that are on top of the Ark of Covenant, eis kol ashatzave oischo el bnei Israel, everything that I'll command you to the Jewish people, meaning, whatever Hashem is going to command the Jewish people, Hashem is telling him from on top of the cherubs. And we know that the oral law was given to Moshe Rabbeinu as a gift, that Hashem cannot command the Jewish people regarding the oral law. Therefore, Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu from on top of the cherubs when Hashem wanted to give a commandment based on the written law. But when Hashem wanted to give a commandment based on the oral law, then Hashem came to Moshe Rabbeinu from on top of the Mizbeach. And that will answer both psukim, that Hashem really appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu in two places. When he was discussing the written law, Hashem appeared from on top of the cherubs on the ark. But when Hashem was discussing the oral law, then Hashem appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu on the top of the Mizbeach. And Hashem Yisborach should help that in the merit of the month of Adar, where we said Kimu v'Kiblu, we accepted what was before, and we even accepted more mitzvahs, that we should merit to have Mashiach come, the Beis Hamikdash rebuilt, the menorah again lit, Bimheira Bayomeinu, Amen.